All right, so here is our agenda. On the agenda today, we have basically a whole bunch of questions on whether or not certain keywords are redundant. So are subject and RI redundant? Should we drop base and vocab? Figuring out if we can link instance documents and context documents, or how we do that through HTTP headers. And then we have merging type and data type into one thing. Are there any updates or changes to the agenda? Anything else that we should discuss today? All right, let's go ahead and get started. So I think maybe before we jump into this, Marcus wrote a very good email, I thought, to the mailing list about reducing the number of keywords. Let me go ahead and find that. Reducing. HTMLD. And I think this is his email. I mean, it resonated with me. I don't know how the rest of the people on the call feel. So I think we should take a little bit of time to kind of discuss that, because that email will help us resolve three of the issues that are on the agenda today. So Marcus, would you like to give a kind of a quick introduction to this? I'll scribe for you, and then after that, we can kind of discuss this. All of us can discuss this together.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So, well, basically what I did is I ran through the whole spec and looked at all the keywords we currently defined. And without considering framing, we have 10 keywords, and some of them are redundant, and others, well, it's not sure if they really provide any functionality that's required or that we can't achieve by just using the others. So, for example, subject and IRI are two that are redundant, and that's one of the issues of today's talk. Of today's telecom. And the thing there is that IRI is kind of a special case, because we also use it as a data type that's not just to specify that, for example, the subject of an object, but also if we do a coercion, we use that @ARI to specify that the data type of that property in that object, it has to be coerced to an IRI. And basically the same applies to, what was it, to list. So we both have that short form where we have @list and then an array of items which coerces that property to a list at the same time as you specify the value. And you can also have that in the context definition to specify the data type as being a list. So they are kind of a bit different than all the other keywords that we currently have in JSON-LD. And, well, for example, @DataType and @Type, they are, I mean, in JSON-LD itself, they're difference is minor, I would say, or not existent for an average developer. But if you convert such a JSON-LD document to RDF, the result will be quite different. And so I think that's the reason why some people with more RDF background really don't want to merge them together. Others, like language or literal, they are really clear, even if literal, maybe it's a bit a confusing term for it. So perhaps I suggested that maybe value would be easier to understand for JSON developers instead of having literal there. And the last two are base and vocab. So at least for me, it's not very clear what use cases we enable by having base and vocab there. And I could imagine that it's quite difficult for people to read the JSON-LD document with basically three base URIs in their head. So they have the base URI of the document where the JSON-LD document was loaded from. Then there might be an at base which overrides that. And additionally, there is an at vocab which just applies to properties. It's really kind of difficult to keeping track just in your head to what that current URI you're looking at is being expanded to. And it gets even worse when you include the external context, because you can change all that stuff externally as well. And that also makes debugging quite difficult, I would say. So there is an issue for that as well, and there is the proposal to drop at base and at vocab, because if you really need such things, you could also use prefixes, for example. So basically what I did then in that email is that I looked at all of them and tried to eliminate as most keywords as possible without losing any functionality. And in the end, we could really reduce those 10 keywords to just 6. So that's a reduction of almost 40%, or you can say you have just half of the keywords left and you still don't lose basically any functionality that we have currently. And in some regards, I think it makes it even easier. For example, that type and that data type, I could expect that a lot of people get confused by having two concepts. They don't really understand what the difference is if they don't have an RDF background. And I think a lot of people that are eventually going to use JSON-LD probably don't have an RDF background, or let's put it that way, don't want to be bothered to learn RDF just to use JSON-LD. I think that's basically it. That was what I wrote in that email.
Okay, great. So if people want to put themselves on the queue and let us know what you think about the general proposal, that'd be great. Greg, you're on the queue.
So in my own sort of working on algorithms lately, I think definitely the ambiguity of having both base and at vocab has been an issue. And I'm not sure, though, we can drop at base. Just looking at it with regards to other, admittedly, RDF vocabularies, and in general, the need to be able to take a document and be able to describe it independent of the actual location it's retrieved from, and the inevitability of having to deal with relative IRIs sort of implies that there should be some way of being able to describe what the base that relative IRIs are expanded with. It's the ambiguity of that with the vocab, so that relative IRIs are expanded differently in different contexts, that I think really complicates processing. And I think, indeed, that at vocab could be eliminated, and something similar could be just the empty prefix, or a term which is a empty string, which would allow something that's very much like the vocab without actually imposing these differences in relative IRI expansion. Looking at the rest of the reduction, I could see merging data type and type, since I think they are different concepts, but they are used in different contexts. I noticed that Marcus eliminated type in favor of data type, I think type is really more likely to be used because of its role in setting the the type of an object. So if we were going to eliminate one, I would eliminate data type and use sort of type in its place where necessary.
Okay. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah. Well, I'm sympathetic to the ideals that Marcus proposed, and to try to find the simple form. But in reality, it's very hard to find a simple form. I mean, the simple form comes out last. And before you can find a working simple form, you have to sort of do what we do here. So to get to the details done, I think that, well, I agree with Greg that base is important in cases, for instance, where you want to save data from a specific location and then you add just base in the context if you have relative IRIs anywhere. So if we support relative IRIs, I think that base is quite needed to get something which is stable to transport and put on different in different contexts, well, serving contexts. And it's a rather well-known concept, given that XML base and base in HTML is present in many specifications and usages. I could, though, understand that base, well, we could instead require full absolute IRIs everywhere, which would be the simpler alternative. If we allow relative IRIs, I believe we should allow base as well. Regarding, I don't know how much we should go into the details here because we have these, there are many different issues here. Perhaps we should take them in turn as we have presented them in the agenda.
Sure. I mean, just a quick overview of what you see the technical issues being would be good, I think, at this point.
All right. Well, then we have... the issue of data type and type. I'm trying real hard to support this because I see Marcus' standpoint, Marcus' view, point of view. But I have one of the biggest problems I have with it is not so much that, given that they are used in different contexts, they are disambiguated by their usage. The real problem comes from the fact that in practice they don't have the same value space because type has the value space of proper classes and data type has the value space of data types, which are distinct concepts. And one real issue with that is that if we were to merge them and you put data in a store where you can extract statistics, for instance, doing faceted browsing, then listing all the values for type would be, if we did emerge, including both types of resources and any date and string and the other data type we have, unless you always use coercion, or unless you, as a workaround, explicitly define a term for RDF colon type. So, I mean, it's not impossible to work around it, but I think that that is a potential problem, because those who don't understand the difference might have to understand the difference sooner or later, and since there are the issue with different value spaces, I think that we might create more problem than we remove by merging. That's basically my summary of my position right
okay.
now.
Okay. So I was actually against changing a lot of this stuff, or I have been against changing a lot of this stuff, because I think that when you get down to it, there are nuanced differences between things like subject and IRI and type and data type and things along that line. But I think the part of Marcus's argumentation that really resonated with me was that we are trying to simplify the language so that people that don't know that much about RDF will be able to use it easily, right? And we're trying to do that while also not preventing certain use cases from being achievable. So these use cases would be the ones that are currently supported by BASE and vocab would be slightly more difficult to implement, but I don't think that those use cases are kind of beginner use cases, right? Those are the more advanced use cases. Those are the people that are building, you know, fairly robust and complex systems with this stuff. Those issues, like if you don't have BASE and you have to use absolute IRIs everywhere, those issues are something that they would have to end up dealing with. And I don't necessarily see having to use absolute IRIs, you know, everywhere, or using, you know, prefixes, as necessarily a bad thing, because that makes the data in the document more portable, meaning that the entirety of the document is kind of encapsulated in the document, right? And that's kind of an argument also against relative IRIs, because when I think Alexandra posted an example that he had to the mailing list, and he said, you know, I really like a BASE, and I'd like to have a suffix as well. When I looked at that, it was difficult for me to, it took like 15, 20 seconds to actually figure out what the markup was trying to say because of the BASE and the suffix, because Marcus is absolutely correct. You have to keep all that stuff in your head, and I think as implementers, we tend to think that that's a fairly easy thing to do, and we forget that these people, you know, have a passing interest in JSON-LD. I mean, most people would have a passing interest in JSON-LD if it's popular and people use it. As for the other argument that, you know, BASE is a concept that's used in XML and HTML, I've always seen BASE as one of these kind of, it was kind of a necessary evil, I think. And it was a necessary evil because I think most HTML documents, at least they started out being authored by hand. And you don't want to have to rewrite every single one of your URIs when you move one HTML document from one location to another, or an XML document from one location to another. But I think JSON-LD is slightly different in that I think that JSON-LD for a large part is going to be machine generated, right? And so it isn't that big of a deal to have to recreate absolute IRIs. So I think that the thing that resonated again with me the most with Marcus's argument is that we're trying to make this simple for beginners to understand without removing any functionality, and the things that are fairly complex to do are complex to do for the people that are writing systems that export JSON-LD, right? And in those cases, it's fairly simple to do things like generate absolute IRIs and things of that nature. So I think I'm very much in favor of doing what Marcus is suggesting. The other thing that I think we might want to keep in mind is that this doesn't have to be a final decision. We can try it out and then see how people feel about this over the next, you know, 4 or 6 months while the spec is going through some kind of rec track process. And we can always add in BASE and vocab at a later date. We've got the rules and everything fairly worked out, but we may want to pull back at this point and try and simplify before we go into rec track, and then try to see if any other arguments come up during the rec track process that says that we absolutely should have, you know, BASE or a differentiation between data type and type. So yeah, I think those are my general thoughts on it. Any other general thoughts before we jump into each item? Nichols, you're on the queue.
Yeah, just a reflection on what you said. I think that that's a good point. We can try to reduce stuff. Some pieces I might want to fight for keeping anyway, but I think that's a good it's a good path to try to reduce it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that said, let's go ahead and jump into the first issue here. Our subject in IRI redundant. Here's a link to the issue. I think the default position, maybe the default position should be let's merge these, and then hopefully that will push people to comment on why merging them is not a good idea. So is there anyone that would like to suggest that merging subject and IRI would be a very bad move, short term and long term? Okay, so maybe these. I might jump in and say the only concern that I would have with merging subject and IRI is that people might become confused that there is a nuanced difference between subject and IRI, and people will need to look for whenever there's an IRI, people may need to look for something like additional properties to understand whether something's just an IRI or something's actually this, you know, kind of a JSON-LD object. But I don't think that's a very strong argument to keep it. Greg, you're on the queue.
I think the only thing about this is that IRI is very specific, and subject does. It's sort of like what we were talking about in RDFA, the difference between about and resource. It's about making a little bit more sense. But I think it might be better if we just considered a different term that sort of combines these meetings. And, you know, I notice in a lot of other attempts at doing some form of a linked representation in JSON that ID is commonly used. And if we use something like at ID, that implies an identifier. A URI is a type of identifier, but we'll also use IRI in places where where a blank node might be used. And I think it gets a little bit weaselly when we talk about you know, unlabeled nodes and IRIs, and they're both have a prefix form that separates them. But I think IRI is just a very special is a special case, and what we're really talking about is the concept of an identifier.
So, what do we use for the coercion parameter?
I'd say we also use it's being coerced to an identifier.
Okay. I'd be in support of that. Would there anyone that any would so the proposal is to combine subject and IRI into a single concept, and that concept's name would be at ID. Any opposition to doing that?
So if you coerce, for example, the homepage of a FOF object to an IRI, that would be an ID then as well.
Sorry, say that again, Marcus.
For example, if you have a FOF object and there's the homepage in there and you want to specify that that's an IRI, you would say that's an ID?
I think so, yes.
That's what you would say. But, the fact that it doesn't make sense for a homepage to have anything other than an IRI is really some more implied semantics about what home page means, and RDF doesn't really treat that in any way. You might use you might use other, you might use an IRI, which is a URN as well, and that wouldn't make sense to have the home page, but there's no way to sort of really limit that in any other RDF vocabulary.
Yeah, and I guess the other kind of argument for getting not calling it an IRI is that many people, even today, don't really know what an IRI is. They don't know what the difference between an IRI and a URL is. It's just a very technical term, whereas ID is kind of, I think it's easier for people to kind of grasp, even if it's not more technically precise. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I'm almost in favor of ID. I think that it we should try to come up with something else. If we can't, I'm pretty fine with it. I might even prefer something longer like resource ID, the common part of IRI and URI. But
right.
That's very long, so perhaps.
Yeah, I also think that if you look at the audience, ID is seems to be pretty commonly used. Even saying that something is a resource gets to be it's gonna push some people away, I think.
Right.
Yeah, I see.
Okay, so let's break this up into two proposals. The first proposal is to merge subject and IRI into the same concept. Is that the proper wording for that merge subject? Into maybe the same keyword, merge subject and IRI. Use the same keyword for both subject and IRI. Use the same keyword for the concepts of subject and IRI. Let's try that. Use the same. Wayne, plus one, minus one, plus zero. Okay, so that's resolved. And then the next proposal is use the keyword ID for the concept of subject. Used to be. Okay, so use the keyword ID for the concept of what used to be subject in IRI for the combined concept of subject. Yeah, and this is all, Lane, I think this is all understanding that we need to actually implement this to ensure that, make sure that we're not accidentally doing something bad to the normalization algorithm.
Okay. I'm not exactly sure how to vote on some of these things since I don't know exactly how this is going to affect the functionality of the whole system.
We're voting
on this.
It
really shouldn't affect it at all since IRI was... It was always could be. You could always use that or subject. If you just replaced every use of IRI other than in the coercion with subject, you'd get the same thing. But that was why I originally suggested that the two concepts be merged. So I really don't see that there will be an impact on any of the other algorithms.
Yeah, and I think that right now what we're doing is we're straw polling based on a conceptual level, not necessarily the implementation level. So we're outlining what we want the system to do conceptually, and then if there's an implementation burden, then we're going to have to revisit the decisions.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be terrible for changing all of our code, but...
Well, it's a lot of refactoring, but I don't think the algorithms change.
Yeah, I think Lane's just very sad that we have tons and tons of implementation that are going to have to change because of this. It's never a good argument to say we have to change a lot of code to make the thing usable for the rest of the people that are going to use it. Okay, so resolved use keyword. Yeah, I agree, Marcus. The use of ID and coercion is a bit weird, but that might not be terrible.
Well, not really. If you consider that what we have is two different types of things that might be coerced, is one is literals, and the other are effectively resources, and that we don't want to use the term resource. And Marcus, I think it also suggested that perhaps we should consider something other than the term literal as well. But really, we're really saying when you see a string, treat it as one thing or another, depending upon its context. And the fact that it had been IRI, when in fact it might be representing a blank node, didn't work before. So ID is, I think, a reasonably abstract stand-in for that concept. And I'm certainly open, if something better comes up, to using that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next topic up is dropping both base and vocab. This is issue 26. So I think that I would be in favor of dropping both base and vocab, even though it makes me a little nervous. So dropping vocab makes me nervous because of the schema.org implementations. Like schema.org could use vocab and do some really simple markup with it. So could like good relations, and I can't think of very many other Uber vocabularies that use vocab. But basically, vocab is very useful if you have a Uber vocabulary. In dropping base, I am actually more prone to dropping base because I don't think that we should be using relative IRIs in the JSON-LD documents. So if you can put yourself on the queue, and we can kind of get some input on this. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I believe I'm exactly in the same position as you, Manu, because I can definitely see that it would be good to try if we can use absolute IRIs everywhere, and as also Marcus suggested, you can use a base prefix if you really need to shorten your URIs. Also, an argument for that, i.e. not using relative IRIs, is that we mix in our value space for references, we mix absolute URIs, relative URIs, QRIs, and the terms. And especially the latter is very tricky, because then we can't use relative IRIs as people are used to use them, i.e. with no dot slash before them. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that's been tricky, which this will solve as well. Did you have a reflection?
Can you say that again?
Which part?
So you're against dropping vocab, or you're in favor of doing that because...
Vocab, that's a different issue, I think, for me, because...
we're talking about vocab now.
No, only base.
Okay.
And the fact that using terms, regardless of if the terms are resolved against vocab or if they are defined, it's hard for someone used to see relative IRIs or URIs to differentiate between terms or local paths. So that's an argument for dropping base and use prefixes where you previously used base.
But that applies exactly the same way to vocab, doesn't it?
No, not really, because I just as Manu said, there are
but
cases
you
where you...
But you can't distinguish between a term and a relative URI if you're using vocab.
But I don't have to distinguish between relative IRIs and terms if I drop base.
Well, but vocab is for... Isn't vocab the same?
The problem is that if base and vocab are both present, you have to use dot slash to differentiate between a term and a relative URI. That's true.
No.
Yeah, that's
But you only need to do that if you have a relative URI that would otherwise be confused with being a term because of a definition, which seems a little artificial.
Yeah,
so I think this is a perfect example of why we should remove these attributes, because the even understanding when exactly base is in effect and when vocab's in effect, I think is difficult for people to grasp in the beginning, right? So I mean, there might be people that think that for keys, JSON keys, the order of evaluation is base then vocab then terms, or terms then vocab then base, right? It's a set of rules that they have to kind of keep in their head that are fairly difficult, and I think the difficulty is exponential. The how difficult it becomes, the more of these attributes we have, is exponential. So just removing base actually helps us out quite a bit, and perhaps removing vocab would help us out even further. I mean, really, the downside for removing vocab, we could basically end up doing. Well, we could do what Greg suggested is and use like a colon as pointing to the default prefix, and we could have a prefix defined as colon is the path to scheme.org. But I think even that it results in kind of nasty, strange markup. Going back to vocab and schema.org, the thing that makes me nervous about schema.org is not having vocab, but really the schema.org people, all they would have to do is release a context that has every single one of their terms defined, and then we don't really need vocab. You can do the same markup, it's just someone needs to go in and create that JSON-LD context document. So I don't think that we actually lose... My concern about vocab was always, well, what happens if someone wants to use schema.org? But if they want to do that, they would include the schema.org context, and they would be able to do the exact same type of markup they would be able to do if they just used vocab. So I don't think that it requires a tiny bit more work on the vocabulary publisher side, but you end up with the same markup that you wanted, really, with using vocab. Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I guess my original thought was if we were to lose one, if we were to keep one of them, it would be base, since I think vocab is the one that is least necessary, and there are other ways of dealing with that. At this point, I do support dropping them both and specifying that IRIs are absolute. Because we can add it back in. It's much easier to add one of these concepts when it proves necessary than it is to remove it. Regarding the use of just a colon as a or sort of empty prefix, I don't think that's something that the language promotes. I think it's not even necessarily a promoted use case. But if the terms, if I think right now we say a term has to be an NC name, that could be relaxed somewhat, for instance, to allow it to be empty or an NC name. And for that matter, I don't really want to prevent people from defining their own keywords if it makes sense for them by having a I don't think an NC name can start with an at, but perhaps it can. If it couldn't, it would seem reasonable to allow people to effectively define their own keywords that would do it. So you might, even though defining an at-base term wouldn't just allow you to use that to expand things. It would provide some semantic meaning and allow people to use that as part of a query within the document.
Right. Nicholas.
Yeah. I can see. I could try out discarding vocab as well. My favorite use of it has been to reduce the size of context definitions, basically. And of course, I have also used the side effect that it also imports anything, so to speak, any term. So my context would grow quite a bit without it. Mm-hmm. But then again, I have to. I can live with that for a while and see. Maybe it's not so painful. The risk might have. The aversion I've had with it has basically been because contexts definitely grow when we remove it. But given that we use coercion quite a lot, and also discuss whether it would be good to use something like container to define terms which are always in lists, which I have a definite need of, and stuff like that, I will probably end up defining 60% or something like that of my terms anyway. So, well, then the use case for reducing the size is pretty much lessened by reality. So I won't push too hard against trying without vocab.
Okay. Marcus.
Why should the context grow if we drop vocab? I mean, if you would use a prefix for that, the context would stay almost at the same size, so you have that defined that prefix instead of vocab. The only thing is that you have to add that prefix to your whole JSON-D document, but I can't see why the context should grow if you drop vocab.
No, you mean to use the prefix to import terms, to define terms?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's also a case. The primary case was for those terms I do not have to define in any way. But absolutely, it doesn't. I mean, it grows with like prefix plus string length and the string length of the term name. So that it's true, it doesn't grow with huge amounts. And using prefixes for this is the way I will do it. So I am. Okay. I won't fight trying without vocab.
Yeah, I was just trying to understand you.
Okay. So any other input on this? Sorry, go ahead.
No, I didn't hear what Marcus said. I think
I just tried to understand you.
Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, any other input on this before we go into a straw poll on dropping base and vocab? Greg?
Yeah, the only thing I think we might want a corollary here about a better definition for
what a valid term is other than NC name in order to allow some of these other use cases.
Okay. Do we need to do that at this point, or do we need to do that when we find out that not having vocab and base is lacking?
I think it just probably becomes another issue to look at some point. They're not involved, but I think in my mind, getting rid of base and vocab is fine as long as there exist other mechanisms that allow for a similarly terse representation of the data. And right now, I think that I would be constrained to have a prefix that, or a term which, you know, had at least one alpha character in it in order to be an NC name. So that's the only reason I brought that up is to allow for some expressivity. But we don't need to conflate this. I just didn't want to lose that issue.
Okay. Would you mind opening an issue on that?
Sure.
That would be the best way to make sure we don't forget about it. All right, so let's do this. Drop, I'm going to just make them pretty simple. Proposal, drop support for base. Lane, what's the plus zero? Reason behind the plus zero?
I don't think I have the experience using any of this stuff to know whether it's good or bad. I just don't know what to say on this, so.
Okay. All right, so let's resolve that. And then proposal is drop support for vocab. All right, and then, of course, if we get a lot of pushback on this, we can always put it back into the document over the next 6 months or so. I know that Alexandra Passant basically said that he really liked having, I think it was base in there. So I think we're going to get a decent bit of pushback, but we should really look to see if the arguments that are being raised at that point are really any different from what we've discussed on the call today. I might, since we're going through these pretty quickly, maybe we should talk about the fourth agenda item, which is merging type and data type. Maybe we can get that resolved pretty quickly. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yes. Should we add documentation about that we're dropping this to see the effect, either to the spec, like in a note or an issue in the text there about that they had existed and might come back, or add something about using QRIs, prefixes and QRIs instead for the use cases where base and vocab have previously been used.
We might want to do both. We might want to say that vocab and base existed previously and they were replaced with this usage pattern, and then give people an example in an issue marker.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah, I'll try and put that into the spec, or whoever gets around to it first should put it into the spec. Okay. Issue 31, merging type and data type. Are there any arguments against doing this that we haven't already heard? Did anyone want to speak up and say that this is not a good, this would not be a good merge to make? Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, this is basically just a reiteration of my argument that the value spaces are different, the usages are different. You'd never consider using either date or person as the type of a thing, because they are different kinds of things. So this is my real problem. And I also think that instead of merging them, I think Greg said that we might go for only data type, because type or make type work like data type. It might be a better name for people who don't understand the difference. But RDF type, you can always use, define a term yourself for RDF type. Of course, it's such an important part of how we do stuff that it would be strange to not having it around, unless we had something like the predefined prefixes. I don't know if this has come up before. Having RDF and XSD as predefined prefixes would be kind of nice for a lot of stuff.
Right. Right. Okay, and that's kind of a different issue, but I agree. So let me kind of talk to the point that you made about them being different value spaces. Technically, I absolutely agree with you. They are completely different value spaces, and it's we want to be careful that we don't conflate those two. But I don't think that many developers know about that, nor do they care about it. Meaning that, I think that a lot of people, the way that they use their JSON-LD in the beginning is going to be just looking at examples. It's like you learn any other, kind of markup language. You look at the examples and you kind of copy. And a lot of the systems that I think are going to be using JSON-LD are going to require types to be in certain places. Or they may not require types at all. Like we've been finding out that the system we're building doesn't really require you to specify what the type of anything is. Now when you do things like literals, at that point you have to specify type. But most of the other system doesn't need type. So I think that we tend to think that type is more important than it actually is in practice. And I think that the differentiation for the value spaces between type and data type, at least as far as RDFA and RDF is concerned, while there is an important distinction there, I don't think that we need to make that distinction in the markup language, because it's clear how we translate a JSON-LD that only has type into RDF. Those rules are fairly clear. So I don't think that we really need to differentiate between those two. Greg, you're on the queue.
Well, I'm worried that there is some danger of getting people to really conflate these issues, because if we merge the terms, I think that it is a good practice that objects be typed in general, as I think it's a good idea to do that in RDF, even though it's not necessary. It becomes much more clear when you say, for instance, that you're talking about a person, or say a payment or an offering or something such as that. And if the same, if which is partly why I said if we were to merge them both, we should merge them to type, since I think it's much more likely that when JSON is used, it's going to be used to provide types for objects and not for data. As with, say, RDFA, I think people actually specifying the types of their data is likely to be fairly rare, and only when you really want to be sure it's unambiguous. But if we do that within, say, a literal definition, that we say have a literal string, and the type of that string, the data type that denotes is an XSD date, And if we were to use the type keyword there, that might be natural, but it could mean that people conflate those issues and think that that's just a type just the way it is within an object. And they are different, and I just am worried that by having them conflated within the syntactic representation, even though they are somewhat orthogonal usage patterns, might just cause more bad data to be created.
Hmm. All right. Marcus, you're on the queue.
But still, even if we keep them different, people have to know all about all that stuff. So even if we have type and data type, they have to know that they have to use classes for a type and data types for data type. And I think they are, like, even the names are so similar that people, or let's say JSON developers, just don't understand the difference. In every programming language, you define the type of a variable the same way. If it's a scalar or an object or whatever, it's always the same.
True.
So
that's true.
I don't think we can argue that we reduce the amount of invalid data that's created by having two different keywords. I would say that we even increase the problem, because some people will put type where they are expected to put data type and vice versa.
That's persuasive, actually. If you look at it from someone implementing in a language such as Ruby, the fact that there's a class for date and there's a class for a hash or an array, they're both classes. They both act like types, even though one really is a scalar and one is a structured type. So in that sense, I think merging them together probably is in the range of what such programmers already have to deal with.
Yes.
In which case, I would say that we go down to type rather than data type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree with that. Yeah.
Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, but the problem is that type isn't the data type. It's an attribute with a URI, which is the expanded form of RDF type.
Yes, but that's just if you're talking about RDF, and people probably won't know or don't even bother about RDF in that instance.
No, that's the conceptual construct, not specifically RDF. It's kind of a tag of the object. The type of the resource is object or dict or resource wrapper or whatever you will have in your programming language, but it will not be fof person or fof document or anything like that. That would only be the type if you had a statically typed OR wrapper around this. In any other case, type is a relation to a resource.
Yes, but the only way to define the data type in JSON-LD is to do it at the same time that you have at literal.
No, not for Booleans or numbers. It's only because because JSON is so restricted that we have to do it for dates. If we had date literals in JSON, we probably wouldn't consider coercion as often as we do. There's a very distinct conceptual difference between data types and RDF colon type.
So I agree that traditionally there has been a fairly strong distinction that the RDF community makes between those two things, one of them being an attribute off of the off of this, you know, node off of the subject, and the other one basically being an attribute that's off of the literal itself. But I think that that is that if it's kind of a byproduct of the way RDF is modeled, right? You could step into a more generalized model than RDF, where it is more of even more of a graph, right? Where literals themselves are nodes, and at that point, if you could think of type as basically being just another node hanging off of the data node. So if you think of RDF in terms of today, you've got, you know, kind of this node that's got a whole bunch of edges going off of it, and one of those edges is RDF type, and then you've got, you know, a pointer to another IRI, which is the class. If you thought of literals as nodes in a graph as well, and this is not how RDF is modeled today, you could still think of it in the same way, in that your literal is a node in the graph, and you've got an edge, which is, you know, the type of the literal, and the end resulting node is the actual type, right? So I buy your argument if we're thinking from an RDF, from a very strict RDF model standpoint. I don't buy the argument if we're thinking in a more generalized graph-based model. So I think that you can, it is possible to think about the problem in such a way that type makes sense, right? And I don't think it's that much of a leap to see that mental model. In fact, I think that mental model is more consistent than the RDF mental model. I think more importantly, I don't think anyone's going to go to the depth of thinking to even think about that. Right? I think that most JSON developers are just going to see what the examples are saying, and they're just going to end up using whatever the system that they're interfacing with, they're just going to use what it needs. And they're not going to think about it at all, or even if they do think about it, I don't think that they're going to have as much of an issue with the value space mismatch just because it's kind of, you know, it's how everyone uses the language, or will become how everyone uses the language. Did that line of argumentation make sense, Nicholas? Was that clear, or...
Yeah, it's a very good, I mean, the generalized graph, I mean, that's to the core of the trickiness of the concept of literals in RDF, and it's a very good observation. Of course, that's a very tricky thing in itself, but I have... The thing that's makes it tricky for me, which I can work around, as I exemplified before, is if anybody looked at the link I posted previously about facets in our system, there we have an extract of types which are used by these are unfortunately Swedish names, but they are different kinds of legal document types, and I know I can, by defining type and or only use coercion, I can avoid the risk of having string and date and daytime appear in there, but I have to manage that. Perhaps I am too concerned because it's manageable, and I suppose anybody who needs to manage that will find the same way to manage that. But I can see, well, I'm almost believing that I'm convinced by your general graph example right now.
Okay. Marcus, you're on the queue.
But what you are doing in that link there is to extract all the at types and at data types, right? And you can't do that if we merge them.
Yeah, but as you see, the dimension value there is type. So I've aliased at type to type. And I could just as easily alias type to RDF colon type.
But, I mean, if you want to extract at data type, you have just have to check it if in the same object there is an at literal. And then you, even if it's called at type, it will be the same. So you will get out just the that was previously at data type.
Yeah, but I don't want the data type. But in our system, I don't have any problems with the merger because I use coercion for every explicit data type. So I never inline at data type. Had I done that and we were to merge these, I'd have to differentiate somehow. And I could do that by aliasing type to RDF type instead of this merged term.
Okay. So what was the issue then that you can't work around, sorry?
Around this issue by doing that,
okay.
By defining type not as an alias of data type or the merged at type. But the conceptual issue there is that if I didn't do it and kept on using the same, I couldn't just ask the system to give me every used value for type, because then I would end up with both resource types and data types.
Yeah, you would also have to check if there is an add literal in the same object.
Yeah, and I couldn't do that because this is an extraction of the facet. I use Elasticsearch facet feature for this.
Yeah.
So I guess I don't. There is no query behind that I control.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the important thing is that there is a solution, albeit it's not as clean as we'd like it to be. Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I just wanted to echo something Manu had said about the thinking about literals as being unnamed nodes with things. I think that's actually the way that RDF should have done it. For instance, the fact that you cannot go and infer update a graph with to add a data type to a literal without creating a new node is a real problem in RDF. And if it had been, if we had something earlier, if you imagine that it was instead of represented as a node with an RDF value being the lexical representation, then you could have a type. You could say that it is a XSD date, and in which case the concept of type and data type could be merged together. So allowing for some form of a graph in which literals basically are represented as blank nodes that have some lexical value but may also have a type would allow a future to do something like that. So I think that in that sense, using type here when we're describing a literal is sort of in keeping with being able to do something like that.
All right, so we're well over our time. Do we feel that we could? I'm going to go ahead and put a proposal in to merge type and data type and call it type. And let's see if that how people feel about that. Nicholas, you're on the queue before I do that.
Yeah, just a quick to resonate what Greg mentioned. One indication that this is another indication in RDF that this is conceptually a good way, to merge them is a good conceptual way, is that when we use range, RDF schema range, we use normal types if there is an object, if this is an object property, and regular data types, XSD data types, if it is a data type property. So the distinction there is on the kind of property you use. So there is something in RDF that resonates the argument that Greg made.
Okay. All right, so the proposal is to merge the data keyword with type. Type will be used to specify both RDF type for nodes and literal data types. Literal data type values. All right, so that is resolved. Great, so we have greatly simplified JSON-LD in one telecon, so hopefully we didn't shoot ourselves in the foot by doing so. Thanks, everyone, for the wonderful conversation, and we'll probably have one more telecon next week before, one more telecon next week before the Christmas break here, at least in the U.S., or the holiday break here in the U.S. Anything else that we should be aware of before we hang up?
No, the only thing, could you again send the agenda?
Yes, I'll try.
Next week. That would be great.
Sure. All right, great. Have a great week, guys. All right,
you too.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.